Blog Talk Radio.
This is Mark Grace, and you're listening to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete. It is Tuesday night. It is 9:31. It is May the 10th, 2011. I am Steve Sampietro, one of your hosts for Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete, the show, the podcast, the dream, the excitement that fills the air. It's exciting! We have a really fun podcast for you tonight. Cal and I are going to talk about the New York shortstops, the Jeters, the Reyeses, and we're also going to talk a little Islander hockey way later in the show with Scotty Lawbot, is a buddy of ours who's maybe one of the only known Islander fans left out there. But there was some big news today out of Nassau County here on Long Island. Plus, we will talk a little bit about what has to go when you have a family. What do you stop watching? I'll tell you exactly why I'm thinking of this. Two people have brought it up to me. But before all that, boy, did I set the stage, Doctor. Let me bring in my co-host for the podcast, for the show. The man, the myth, the legend. He is dressed to the nines tonight. I don't know where he is going after the show, but he looks good. It's science. Let's bring in Calpino, Calniva. Caliente. Brian Calvi. Calvi. Hello, Brian.
Well, hello, Steve. Wow.
What is going on?
Wow. Every week. I don't feel worthy of that introduction.
Well, start feeling worthy, my friend, because, you know, it's a podcast. It's a show. We've been doing it for a while now. It gets hotter and hotter. It's a pod show.
That's what it is. Hey, listen, I'm dressed up for the show, by the way. That's the only thing I got going on tonight.
Is that what it is? I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. We're doing that now. Okay. That's fine.
Listen, this is big time.
We are live from the studios. I am in Dumpling Sound Studios 2 in Bayside, New York. Cal from we can't give his location out. Can we? Can we give the locale?
No,
get
we
it?
Can't.
The low? See what I did?
I see. I'm in an annex of Dumpling Sound Studios too.
That's correct. You are in. You're not on the compound, but you are around.
No.
You know what I want to have someday, Cal?
What?
A compound.
I don't. Yeah. Why?
The Sandpete compound.
A compound?
Yeah.
With a moat?
Like a Kennedy, like a sort of, you know, like a compound.
Man, with wings and stuff.
I don't know about that.
No, not wings that you would fly. Wings like I'm in the East Wing.
Yes.
I'm calling over to the West Wing for a glass of iced tea, you know.
That's right. I call our producer, the man behind the glass. What a better introduction for PJ, pop culture PJ, helping us out behind the glass tonight. How are you, PJ? Good evening, my friend.
Doing good. I'm at my compound. I'm at Dumpling Studios 1, actually outside on a very, very long set of headphones.
What?
You're on wireless?
Wireless? No, we don't deal with that. It's low fidelity.
Peach, what are three things you never pay for, Peach?
I never pay for mushrooms. I never pay for pancakes, and I will not pay for low-fidelity music.
That's correct. Pop Culture PJ. Three things to live by. Three
you will
things.
Never catch me buying an MP3.
That's correct. Thanks.
It all makes perfect sense, too.
Thanks for helping us out tonight. I know you're back there on the mothership. How come last time we did the show and you were producing, you were taking out the garbage? Now this time you're outside as well. Do you have a home?
Look, there's a few issues between me and the missus, and sometimes she prefers I work outside, even if it is at night.
Right. Well, I'm sure your neighbors in Jersey must be thrilled to see you wandering the streets with headphones on and a cell phone.
It's a big backyard. I more have to worry about wildlife than neighbors.
You know what, Cal? PJ's place out there, Dumpling Sound Studios 1, has a stream in the back.
Get out.
True.
Like an actual stream.
A running stream.
A babbling brook.
That's
crazy. Wow.
For a blithering idiot.
Thanks, Pete. We'll talk to you in a bit.
All right.
Pop Culture PJ producing tonight. We may be joined a little later by Dr. E. Ray Statt. He is hopefully going to join us. Still on the paternity leave. But if he can make it for a little bit, hopefully he will. If not, we'll get him down the road. We miss him. We love him. Our stats just don't taste the same, Cal. But listen. Dude.
You know, I miss him on Tuesday nights at 9:30, but I see plenty of him, and I deal with him a lot, so.
Yes. Deal with him a lot? What is he? Your insurance? Like a good neighbor?
Yeah,
Dr. Ray is there? Yeah.
Well.
How is your – we've been off for about a week and a half here, buddy.
I know. It's like a mini hiatus. And,
yeah.
And during that time, somebody had a birthday.
Yeah, I don't know who.
Somebody, and it wasn't me.
That's correct, yes. I celebrated my birthday in Arizona.
Happy birthday, Steve.
Thanks, Cal. Thanks, appreciate it.
Arizona, what were you doing in Arizona?
I was there on business, for work. Like, you took your business trip a couple weeks ago to Rochester. I got to go to Phoenix to a resort.
I think you win.
Yeah, that winner. Hello, winner. Winning. No, seriously, but you may have heard the promo at the top of the show from the Mark Grace. I got to sit in the pool suite at Chase Field in Arizona for my company. Got the pool suite for a game, Rockies versus D-backs, which is awfully close to D-bags, Cal.
I know.
In and around the stadium, awfully close to D-bags. They should have thought of that before they went to D-backs, like, officially.
Well, you want to know something? When we had our kids, you know, I have two beautiful daughters, and when we were thinking of names, I made sure to think of the names that, you know, if they were to make fun of them in school, what it would result in.
You have to.
You have to.
We just went through this with my son.
Right.
And you have to think about what it's going to be manipulated into to make fun of.
Exactly. So that's why the owners of the Arizona Diamondbacks clearly did not follow that tact.
Correct. And the one of the things, speaking of that, a couple weeks ago I was watching like the Mets Kid Club, Kids Clubhouse thing, you know, on SNY.
They still do that?
Yeah, they have like the show, and it's hosted by like this 13 or 14-year-old girl, and she's great, and they have 10 questions with R.A. Dickey. And one of her and R.A. Dickey's the pitcher for the Mets is fantastic. I mean, he really is. He's awesome.
But he's almost a little too well spoken for 13-year-olds.
Exactly. He's almost a little too eloquent. And she asked him, one of the questions was, did you get, you know, or what were some of the names that kids called you when you were a kid? And he just looked at her straight face and he's like, my name's R.A. Dickey. And he's like, next question.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, you
know, poor kid.
Right, he wasn't PO'd or anything like that. He was just laughing. Like, did whoever wrote these questions not realize they were interviewing R.A. Dickey?
I mean, she's 13 years old.
It's not her bad, but I thought R.A. handled it quite well. He could have gotten completely blue and ruined Mets Clubhouse for
Mets
children
Kids
everywhere.
Clubhouse.
Right, Mets Kids Clubhouse is now Mets Kids Clubhouse After Dark.
It's all censored with bleeps and...
What were some of the things they called you? Boop! Oh, my last name's R.A. Boop! No, but the back to the Mark Grace thing, Cal, and then we're going to get into this. And we do want to take your calls tonight because we are live, 424-220-1817. We're going to talk a little bit about the shortstop situation in New York. It's very interesting with Derek Jeter, Jose Reyes. David Wright may creep into the conversation. I'm sure he will. He always does. Always does, Cal.
Yeah, he does.
In this house. Because he,
and it doesn't matter what conversation we're even having.
Correct.
He gets involved somehow.
Where are we going for Thanksgiving this year? Well, David Wright is probably going to be in Norfolk, Virginia. So we should plan our trip around that.
Can you change the light bulbs today? Well, you think David Wright is changing a light bulb today? Come on.
thus making for a very awkward conversation in the Cowboys household.
Yeah,
how's that working out for you?
Next.
So Fox Sports West does the game from the pool area, the pool suite out in Arizona. So we're going to meet Don Sutton's kid, does the play-by-play, and Mark Grace. And so we meet Mark Grace. Could not have been a nicer guy, Cal.
Really?
I asked him about wearing number 17.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, because we had always heard as Met fans that he was a huge Keith Hernandez fan.
Yes.
And that he wore 17 because of Hernandez. Not right. True.
Not true?
Not true.
Wow.
He did love Keith Hernandez. Some of his game modeled after Keith, for sure.
Quite a lot of it, I would think.
Right. But he wore 18 his whole career in the minors. Came up, 18 was taken with the Chubbies. And so they gave him a choice of 28 or 17. He said in the inimitable Mark Grace fashion, 17's a heck of a lot closer to 18 than 28. So I went with 17. Oh. Right. So there you go.
I wonder who was number 18 at the time.
But I was trying to think of that while we were at the game. Like, that was like a challenge. And I'm going through I guess he came up in what, 88?
Earlier. Had to be earlier than that.
You think? I thought he came up in like 88. But you're feeling like, you know, Bull Durham is not, he was 39, I think.
Leon Durham was number 10.
Leon Durham was 10. Right. My bad. Who's 39 on that team?
On the Cubs?
Yeah. Oh boy. On the 80s Cubs. Bob Dernier is 20, right?
Bob Dernier, I think, was 20.
Moreland is what? This is riveting conversation for the podcast. We just gained some listeners in Chicago, lost some listeners everywhere else. So I asked him to do a promo, if he would do a quick bumper promo for us, and he was more than happy to do it.
That was really cool.
And I think it came out a tip of the cap to our friend Jay, my friend Jay, I happen to work with, who's a sound engineer.
Nice.
And no, PJ, I'm not seeing other sound engineers.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're going to have like a friend's double entendre moment now.
Awkward.
I only did it the one time. but
Mr. Furley is like, what?
There it is again. Every episode of our show.
We gotta bring it in. Come on.
We got to bring him in. If he were not dead, be considerably easier. PJ has just sent something to me in the IM chat that I cannot repeat.
I'm also not in that chat, so you'll have to
family program. I need to invite you to that chat. Is that what you're saying, Cal?
I know you're having your own private chat talking about me.
Well, we're having our own private Idaho as well. yes, PJ has just written something that cannot be reprinted.
He did say he was working blue.
Yes, this is what it sounds like. This is what Jay got us. Let's play it again.
This is Mark Grace, and you're listening to Ready to Unload with Cal and Sandpete.
Solid. Now he nailed the Sandpete.
He did.
I think he thought there was an M.
He might have.
Right. I wrote it out for him on my BlackBerry, and Jay recorded it on his iPhone.
Right.
And we got one take, Cal, and Jay goes to him because, like a true sound engineer, goes, "Can we get another one just for safety?" And it's in between innings.
Yeah, when did you do this?
It was in between like the sixth and seventh inning. Cal, I've officially decided I'm coming back as Mark Grace in my next life. He shows up to work, you know, about an hour beforehand in sandals, shorts, and a Hawaiian T-shirt. Okay. He does color for the D-backs game. There's people all around him in the the pool suite that love him.
Uh-huh.
Because he won the World Series. He was World Series champion with them in 2001.
Yes, he was.
You know, he's like a legend there. He's still a legend in Chicago. He will never pay for a beer again in Chicago, ever. And, he had a great Major League career. Borderline, not a Hall of Famer, but he was a great Major League first baseman.
Solid.
Now he lives out in the desert, hangs out, works for 3 hours, and hangs out in a pool suite.
Which I guess when he played for the Cubs, didn't they train out there in Arizona too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's probably quite big out in the Phoenix community.
He is loved in Belgium and Italy.
As well as Phoenix.
As well as Phoenix. He's a lot like Citizen Dick.
Well.
Wow, I singles referenced you right there.
You did.
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, that's our Mark Grace promo. That was really cool of him to do, and we're going to play it before the show, and maybe someday we can have Mark on the show. But anyway.
Well, we'll tell him that we're playing his promo.
Yeah.
So he should probably just come on.
Exactly. And talk about beating the Yankees in the 2001 World Series.
That'd be fun.
Which he was more than happy to talk about with all the Yankee fans that I was there with.
Oh, really?
Oh, more than happy.
Well, that's his only World Series, too.
Yeah. And my intro to him was after he had talked to about six guys there that were Yankee fans, and then I came up and shook his hand. I said, look, some of us are Met fans. I took out my Met hat, threw it on.
Nice.
At the same time, he said, well, I'm sorry. Thanks. Speaking of, Cal, on to the big unload. And if you want to talk about the Mets, the Yankees, or PJ working blue, call 424-220-1817. PJ is waiting to take your call. He could be in your driveway. So he could be in his driveway. Cal,
I think he is.
How do you want to do it? Do you want to break it down into twos here? You want to go Jeter first, or you want to go Reyes first?
You wanted,
For those of you around the country, one of the hot topics right now is in New York. What's trending? is Derek Jeter slumping miserably to start the season? Had an off year last year. He is 40 hits shy of 3,000 contract disputes over the summer. The captain's getting up there in age. And the sports talk radio in New York, Cal, aflame with what to do about Derek.
It's amazing.
We talked about it a little bit here that we sort of feel like we come up with him,
right?
Because we're both, you and I are both the same age as him. I'm now a couple months older than him after my birthday.
That's right.
But
only 1 month. He turns 30. Well, he turns his next age in June.
You can say it. It's 37. That's fine. McWalters texted me, happy Stengel.
Yes.
I turned Stengel, or Hernandez with the Cardinals. And now we've lost everybody outside of St. Louis. Cal, he goes 4-for-6 the other day. Are you buying now? Like, he's fixed? Isn't that amazing? He was suddenly fixed.
Yeah, well, he was 4-for-4 at one point.
Right, and then he made out his last two times.
And then he went 0-for-2, he's not fixed.
But no, but I read today, well, now that Derek Jeter's fixed, we can focus on Jorge Posada. Really?
Yeah.
How is he fixed? Because he was 4-for-6 with 2 home runs?
That's ridiculous.
Cal, what are they going to do with this guy? They just signed him for 3 years.
Yeah, what are they going to do with him? They're going to leave him at shortstop.
Okay, I have a radical idea.
Oh, boy.
And it's not cross the streams.
You told me this was coming.
There's another shortstop across town.
Okay.
Who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. He is 27-year-old Jose Reyes.
Right.
The Mets have been rumored to be trading him since the end of last year. That they're not going to be able to afford to keep him. We will get to all that. I would like to propose the New York Mets trade Jose Reyes to the New York Yankees. folks at home, gosh, I wish this was a streaming video. If you could just see Cal's face right now.
Is there an is the ice cream man passing by the studio?
That's correct. Did we not talked about the ice cream man here in Bayside?
At 10 o'clock at night, of course.
The 10 o'clock ice cream man, or as we're going to tell Wesley, the vegetable man. That music means Brussels sprouts.
Nice.
And broccoli. Yes, the 10 o'clock. I don't think he's selling ice cream, Cal.
Well, it sounded nice.
But whatever he's selling, be it illicit or not, why would you play the music? Anyway, right in the middle of my ridiculous proposal.
I thought it was either the ice cream man or you had a Jack in the Box.
I have
in the studio. I know you do.
Cal.
All right, go ahead.
Jeter is 40 hits away from 3,000, right?
Right.
Do you think he can get that by July 31st?
Wait. Back up. Back up before I interrupted you, your radical plan.
Yes.
Give it to me again, because you talked about trading Jose Reyes.
I need to know this, though. Do you think Jeter can get 40 hits by July 31st?
By July 31st?
That's correct. By the trade deadline.
Yeah, of course he can. Some fans, after Sunday's performance, will have you believe he will have it by the end of the week.
So, we take Derek Jeter, post 3,000 hits in a Yankee uniform. We trade him with Benuelos for Jose Reyes. Your thoughts?
It's nuts. It's just—I don't even know whether to take you seriously right now. Are you being serious? You're not.
I'm being somewhat facetious, but.
Are you? Is this a send up? It's got to be a send up. Is there a hidden camera in here? Am I on Punk'd? What is going on here?
Wait, though.
Wait. All right.
So Jeter gets the 3,000. Jeter gets his 3,000 hits in a Yankee uniform.
Right.
And he finishes. There's precedent for Yankees finishing their careers as Mets. Hello, Yogi Berra. All right, Willie Mays, a San Francisco Giant, finishes his career as a Met, an iconic guy, right? Could never play for anybody else but the Giants.
But he wasn't a Yankee.
So what?
You said there's precedent for Yankees finishing their careers as Mets.
Berra. Then he went on to manage the Mets, no less.
Right.
So you send Jeter to the Mets. He's part of the rebuild here.
Wait, what?
Jeter's
part of the rebuild?
Yeah.
At 37 years old?
You have a steady hand. You have the captain. I can't. We got to bring PJ in here just so you and I calm down. PJ, you had a trade proposal. Let me read PJ's trade proposal. Yankees get Reyes, Mets get my ice cream man.
You get the ice cream man. That's about what the Mets can afford anyway.
That's good. I don't think they can afford my ice cream man because he's not selling ice cream. No, Cal, seriously.
All right, let's break this down a little bit.
Let's say that the Mets go into full-on rebuilding mode, right?
Okay.
They trade Reyes to the Yankees for Jeter and Benuelos.
Okay.
Who's their best pitcher? Or Betances, your pick.
One of the killer bees.
Which one do you want?
It doesn't matter. They're all interchangeable because they're the killer bees.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Francesa.
Could be any of them.
We'll say Benuelos, okay? So Jeter and Benuelos to the Mets, Reyes to the Yankees. Yankees lock up Reyes long term.
Right.
They're solved at short. The Mets are under contract for 2 more years with Jeter.
At how much per year?
But doesn't matter.
No, I'm just no. I don't know what is it.
What is it? 15?
Yeah,
15. But it's only 2 more years of that. And also, part of my plan is trading David Wright too. So, whatever money you were giving David Wright, you're giving just to Jeter now.
Okay.
And you have a steady hand on the till as you rebuild. So when you bring up Wilmer Flores to play third base, you have Jeter playing short, and he can finish his career at shortstop. In the National League, he'll probably hit 30 points higher.
Okay.
He'll get the bump from going from one league to the other. You got a veteran presence on a rebuilding Mets team, and you get the Yankees' best pitcher. You can't even keep a straight face while I'm doing this.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
And
no, continue.
You could try this theory out.
What's that, Peach?
Isn't there a video game where you could actually try this out and swap rosters?
We could. We could. We could definitely play like MLB The Show and just play it out and see how it goes.
See how it goes.
And it probably
do that.
I think it would probably come pretty close. No, but Cal, and the Mets have a steady hand at the till. Jeter gets to finish his career in New York at shortstop. And the
I don't
Mets
understand what steady hand at the till means, by the way, as your layman.
Steady hand at the till is a complete, it's a cliche.
It's a euphemism.
For a steady hand at the till, like, you know what a till is, right?
You mean like a cash drawer?
That's correct.
Okay.
Right. You want a steady hand at the cash drawer. You don't want somebody
to shake. You don't want an epileptic as a cashier, is what you're saying?
That's the rule, usually.
And, all right. And Derek Jeter is the opposite of that.
He's the opposite of an epileptic at the cashier. Yes, that's correct. Glad we got to that. And you get the Yankees' best pitching. You get a pitching prospect, which you so desperately need. You team up Banuelos with Matt Harvey. Bingo, bango. You got a 1-2 right at the top of your rotation. And you got Jeets as a recruiting technique as well.
Well, you certainly have thought this through.
Your thoughts, good sir.
Well, let's take them one by one here. Point number one, before you can even start thinking about this, Derek Jeter, I believe, has the no trade clause. Does he not?
I would have to imagine he does.
Well, he's at least a 10-5 guy, so he's got that.
He's like a 15-15 guy.
Yeah, he's almost as much as you could be.
Right.
But so he would have to approve a trade to the Mets. Derek Jeter would have to approve a trade to the Mets.
That's right.
Okay. So we're taking that leap here. We're taking the leap that Derek Jeter is fed up with Cashman going rogue and all of his shenanigans, that he will accept a trade to the Mets. Is that where we're going with this?
That's correct. But before – so, yes, that's ridiculous. Before I even get to that,
yeah,
my phone is completely blinking, going nuts, right? So I my BlackBerry is going off like Tiger Woods at Tiger Woods,
hey,
4 o'clock
hey.
In the morning.
Whoa.
It jinks, all right? And I think it's going to be about the Jeter trade. It's not.
What's going on?
It's my brother saying, tiller, steady hand at the tiller. It's a nautical analogy. The captain has a steady hand at the tiller. So the great.
So it has nothing to do with an epileptic cashier.
Yes. And he has no problem with the trade. Just the analogy. That's where he's offended.
Oh, boy.
Right.
Did he like the trade?
I'm offended as a comedian. Now let's bring PJ back in here before we get to our leap of faith that the captain signs off on this. But let's bring PJ back in here. PJ?
I'm here with my steady hand.
Do you have access to Google?
From time to time.
Can you please go look up the steady hand at the tiller, please, and get back to us?
It's steady hand at the tiller. It took that long. You're once again mangling all euphemistic language.
Let me ask you a question, though. You were buying my little steady hand at the till, though, doesn't it?
No, I had no idea what you were getting at. Does someone behind the cash drawer need to have steady hands? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you don't want anybody shaky there around all that cash.
I think tiller makes more sense.
What is a tiller?
A tiller, it's a sharp tool.
What does it have to do with a nautical analogy?
It's a sharp tool that you use out on the sea.
Say, Okay. Thanks, Paige. The number to call to make fun of me, 424-220-1817. The number to call, my brother said, the trade is clearly insane, but that's... Thank you. Thank you. We'll be hearing from him later on in the show. We're going to give him a shout, Cal, and talk about the Islanders, although I sense he may want to take me up on this trade. Look, okay, fine. The trade is nuts. It's bonkers.
It's crazy.
Okay.
Was that just for shock effect?
Yes.
Just for radio?
Cal, it sweeps.
It is. Well, that's true. We needed something big.
We are in sweeps.
Well, you went there.
All right. No, so you're not buying.
You played the Jeter to the Mets card. The next thing you know, somebody's going to get kidnapped
from
the show.
With a tiller.
Using
a tiller to kidnap. A tiller is a long handle which is used to control the direction a boat travels. A steady hand would ensure a safe ride.
Okay.
All right, then.
So Derek Jeter would have to want to be traded to the Mets. He'd have to approve that.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to jump off that ledge.
So now Derek Jeter wants to – okay, he says, okay,
I want
to end
my career with the Mets. I want to stick it to the Yankees.
I want to stick it to the Yankees. I want to be traded to the Mets. Okay,
Yankee
great.
Fans that are booing me now as I'm within 40 hits of 3,000.
So now the Mets are going to start this rebuild, this youth movement, with a 37-year-old shortstop.
It's already underway.
Declining range.
That's right.
Right. Okay. And the Mets fans who have been – programmed to feel a certain way about the captain.
Yes, go on. Right?
They will now embrace him with open arms because he is replacing the beloved Jose Reyes.
That's correct.
Thus ensuring more people at the games in Citi Field.
Look, we were told all winter long by Mike Francesa, a sports pope, that the Mets should absolutely make a run at Derek Jeter. And if I'm the Mets, it's a no-brainer because it will put fannies in the seats.
Right.
All right, so from that aspect, I may be a little bat crazy, bat guano crazy.
Mm.
But you're going to tell me that Met fans wouldn't love Jeter the moment he got there? I think, if anything, it cushions the blow of losing Reyes. Not to mention, you're getting the Yankees' best pitching prospect.
Well, here's the that's the next.
How delightful would it be to see Benuelos or Betances, the Killer Bees? How delightful would it be to see him win a Cy Young as a Met?
Well, let's go there now, because Manny Benuelos comes with Tommy John surgery. To the
Mets. Betances then. Betances.
He would too. It doesn't matter who they get. They'll enter the Met organization and automatically schedule their Tommy John surgery.
I see what you did there.
You see what I did?
Well, let's just say, for conversation's sake, that they don't have Tommy John surgery. Like Henry Mejia. Fantastic. Great news.
Yeah.
Let's just, for conversation's sake, say no. You're getting their best pitching prospect. You're getting a replacement for Reyes, beloved in New York.
Why would the Yankees do that?
Because they get Jose Reyes. They get a 27-year-old all-star shortstop to take over a guy who's already in New York, knows the town,
mm-hmm.
you know, is a dynamic player at the top of their lineup for the next 7 years.
But why would they trade
I've got you tongue-tied with this.
Wow. Why would the Yankees trade their best pitching prospect for a guy that they could get for nothing – at the end of the season?
Right.
Go ahead. All right.
Because, no, you work out the part of the trade, just like Jeter accepting the no trade clause to the Mets, is that you get a chance to work out an extension with Reyes.
Listen to me. If you were to give Brian Cashman truth serum, what do you think he'd say?
Why are we giving truth serum again?
Because that seems to be the new trend. Give somebody truth serum.
Right. We have to give somebody truth serum to get the truth out of them here in New York, because everybody else is just a big bag of lies.
That's right.
I think Brian Cashman is so crazy that he would go for this. All right, fine. It's not going to happen. Fine.
Well, no. Look, it's clearly not going to happen. I was just trying to figure out logically why that would work.
And I'm
not coming up with anything. I'm sorry.
The only advantage there, Cal, is that they would have a window to extend Reyes as part of the deal, like we had with Santana.
Yeah, but you know,
if you can't work out an extension for, so they would have first shot at him and keep him from going to Boston, which is where he's going on the open market.
Listen to me. If the Yankees want somebody, they don't need an exclusive window, right? They'll just come in $30 million over whoever the highest bidder is.
That exclusive window
is out the window.
Didn't work with Cliff Lee?
No, it didn't. But that's my point.
Well,
if they had Cliff Lee for an exclusive window, he still wouldn't have signed with them.
But they could use the exclusive window for Reyes because you don't want him to hit the open market.
But he's going to hit the open market. The way that the season that he's having, he would be a fool not to hit the open market to see what his value is. You'd have to.
But what I'm saying is with the Yankees, you never have to hit the open market to see your value. They're going to pay you $30 million over value anyway.
But that's the point. He can have an exclusive window with whatever team he's – so let's just say the Mets don't trade him. He's got his exclusive window with the Mets. He's got 15 days or whatever it is after the World Series. He's obviously not going to sign with them. But the Yankees will just sit back and they'll say, okay, you know, you let your little window run out, and then you come to us and we'll tell you what we can give you.
Okay, but here's your problem. They still have Jeter. In my equation, they get rid of Jeter, get an exclusive window to overpay Reyes, because they're going to overpay him anyway.
I'm frustrated with this road you've led me down because I don't believe the Yankees are even going to go after Reyes. Yet you've got me considering it.
Of course they're not going to go after Reyes. They can't go after Reyes. They just re-upped the captain for 3 years.
But that now becomes the question. What do you do with Derek Jeter? We've come full circle now. I'm asking you the question you asked me.
I trade him to the Mets for Jose. No, I. All right, so fine. We'll throw my trade is never going to happen. And you're right. It was sweeps. I wanted to come up with something big. And you know, let's see how it plays in the Midwest. But the point is this. I don't know what you do with Derek Jeter if you're the New York Yankees right now, because I'm not convinced his little 4-for-6 means he's out of this.
Well, what's he doing tonight? Do we know?
I don't know. Dr. E-Ray is not here.
I bet you he knows, though, what Derek Jeter's doing.
Oh, he certainly knows.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't matter. I mean, one game does not break him out of an 8-month slump. I think his bat speed is – there was a stat Buster Olney was on with the sports guy, Cal, and he was talking about the statistic. One of the statistics, the advanced metrics, has Jeter hitting a ground ball like 87% of the time.
Wow.
He can't lift the ball anymore.
No.
Can't get around on an out inside fastball, can't lift the ball.
The home runs on Sunday notwithstanding.
Yeah. Right. But, well, and it was Texas. Easy to get lift on the ball in Texas.
Jeter 2-for-4 tonight.
Nope, he's out. He's broken out.
He's
official.
Broken out.
Yep.
He's now 6 for his last 10?
6 for his last 10.
I mean, he's batting 600. Of course he's back.
What would you do with him, Cal? I mean, what could you possibly do with this guy? Nothing. He's an iconic figure. He's 40 hits away from 3,000. You just grin and bear it. You're winning anyway.
Well, you're not gonna do anything with him now at all. You're going to leave him where he is, and you're going to take what you get from him. You're not going to do anything with him this year.
All
right. Right? And he's going to get his 3,000th hit,
right,
and there'll be celebrations, you know, and everybody will be happy. And then what he will do
is everybody.
Not everybody. That's true. But then what will happen is he'll fail in the clutch a couple of times down the stretch.
How dare you? How dare you?
And everybody will get back on the "we got to get rid of him" bandwagon, especially as you get closer to the end of the season and Reyes becomes a free agent.
Cal, how dare you? Careful. Careful. The angry letters will start.
You know what? You know what I love, and I'm not. This is not a shot at you because I know what you were trying to do.
Yes, I was messing around. I know that trade will never happen. Although I did try to think today of how I would defend it.
It was a clever tactic, and I applaud you for that.
You like my clever ruse?
It was good. But where I'm going with this is all of the scuttlebutt that you hear.
Right.
I can say that, right?
Absolutely. That's your word.
Is that okay? I don't know.
Yeah, the scuttlebutt. We'll bleep that later. Don't worry about it.
All you're hearing is about just the Yankees should go get Reyes and they should just move Jeter. Or then the best ones I hear are you put Reyes at short, you put Jeter at third, you put A-Rod at the DH position, or you put Jeter in left field, and everybody's moving them around.
You send Posada down to Florida on a hit.
Right.
And he never comes back.
It's just interesting how life as sports fans has changed over the past 15, 20 years, that immediately you think, well, I can plug this guy here and this guy here and this guy here, and there's no ramifications to it. It's not, you know, you don't worry about the chemistry of the team. You don't worry about the fact that this guy has never played the position before, but if he has a U next to his name in fantasy baseball, he can play anywhere. So I'll just plug him in.
Yeah.
You know, as a utility guy. And it's funny because, like I said, 15, 20 years ago, we never would have even considered these moves, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, they were made. I mean, Cal Ripken slid over from short to third. But
He didn't move over to third base because they acquired a hot shot shortstop.
Right. No one would call Mike Bordick a hot shot anything.
That was Manny Alexander.
Manny Alexander, too. That's right.
And I'm going to tell a story about, you know, why I'm the only person in the world that doesn't like Cal Ripken. How could you not like Cal Ripken? He's just what baseball is all about. Yeah,
Let me do that. How could you not like Cal Ripken, Cal?
Well, I'll tell you, Steve. When Manny Alexander was a fresh-faced rookie coming up to play shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, Ripken didn't gracefully move over to third base that people forget. He was kind of pushed over to third base because Alexander was supposed to be the next big thing. And what Ripken did was he kind of organized some – I don't know what the right way to put it is, but he kind of turned the team against Alexander and made it really uncomfortable for the rookie to play in the beginning of his career in Baltimore.
Really?
And I thought, well, that's not what a legend is supposed to do.
No, sir.
And I did not like Cal Ripken from that moment on.
Really?
Yeah. It's true.
So Manny Alexander keeps you from liking Cal Ripken?
Not so much Manny Alexander, but what he did to Manny.
No forgiveness there. What's the statute of limitations on Cal Ripken being a douche to Manny Alexander?
There is none, because everybody still salutes this guy like he is, you know, like he's a god.
Well, the lesson, I think, as always, is don't get on Cal's bad side.
Exactly. Because you never come back.
You never come back. Back to the idea. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, Cal Ripken is always the example that is given. Uh-huh. You know, oh, he slid over from, you know, short to third. Derek Jeter should have no problem doing that.
Well, how about A-Rod? That's another example.
Just go to DH?
No, A-Rod moved over to third base.
Yeah.
So
right. Of course. Right. That worked out well, though. I mean, he sort of played Gold Glove third base for a couple of years there.
And he hadn't played third base before. So it's just strange, though, that you would even consider that you wouldn't have 15
years. Right. Well, and it's also we're talking about the Yankees.
Right.
And so there's a danger that Jose Reyes could be traded and or signs with the Red Sox, who have been trying to fill the hole at shortstop, for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, basically, since Nomar left, even though one could argue that Nomar leaving got them a World Series.
Right.
But, you know, there's the danger of him going to the Red Sox, so the Yankees jump in and outbid them and move Jeter around, especially if Jeter has an off year. But this goes back to, Cal, what do the Mets do about Jose Reyes? And this it's a trick question. That's a Fartigan trick question.
It's a trickier situation. What the Mets are going to do with Reyes.
Well, I would like for you now. I proposed my crazy May sweeps trade.
Right.
I'd like for you something you said 2 weeks ago, I might add. 2+ weeks ago. That is now all the rage all over the sports tabloids here in New York. Cal, what did you say the Mets should do?
Well, all of the talk was about you have to trade Reyes because he's going to be a free agent. But you're not going to get a lot. But, you know, this idea that you're going to get somebody who's going to be in your number one pitcher for the next 15 years is ludicrous. All right, he's a free agent at the end of the year. He's a rental. He's a 2-month rental. You're not going to get a lot. Well, you're not going to get as much as you think you're going to get for Jose Reyes. But the guy that you are going to get a lot for, should you decide to move him, is David Wright. Now, here's look at the two. You can trade Reyes, and you're not going to get a lot back for him, okay? Or you can keep Reyes, right? He fills a premium position. His talent is electric. I would tell you that he's probably got more fans than David Wright does. The common man. The passerby. The guy who kind of peeks in and says, hey, what are the Mets doing? They're going to be more excited by Jose Reyes than they are by David Wright.
Okay.
Will you buy that?
Go on.
Okay. So you keep Reyes and you put the money towards Reyes and you trade David Wright, who is a year away from free agency. So the team that gets David Wright now has him for a year plus at a reasonable contract, right? You're going to get more back from that team. You're going to be able to fill more needs by trading Wright. And it's much easier to put a third baseman in there than to try to replace a shortstop. Plus, we don't have to look at his sour face anymore.
Oh, see, now you made it personal.
Well, no, here's the okay.
This is business, and you made this very personal, Tom.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but David Wright is the face of the franchise, which means he's the face of the failures of the last 5 years. And how often do we look at David Wright swinging at a ball in the dirt or trying to pull an outside pitch, and he strikes out, and he kind of slumps his way back to the dugout? I mean, it's like every time you turn around, David Wright's he's throwing the ball away at first base. He's striking out. I've kind of seen enough of the negativity around David Wright. Plus, I love the guy. He's my favorite player. And I think the Mets kind of owe it to him to give him a fresh start somewhere else. I think he would thrive on another team right now at this age.
Wow. Okay. So you took us all over the map.
I did.
I love that about you.
Yeah,
No, no. There's pins stuck all over the map right now. The Met map. But let me start at the end.
Okay.
With what you said about how you're feeling about David Wright right now. And I think this is super common among Met fans right now, that they're feeling that David Wright is, as you put it so Cal eloquently, the face of failure.
Yeah, I'm
it's
sorry.
Funny. I was talking to K-Mac about this today. Huge Met fan, obviously. We had K-Mac on a couple of shows ago to talk about the Giants. He's a huge, knowledgeable Giants fan, too. Mm-hmm. Bleeds for the Mets as well. And Kevin has come to dislike David Wright. He roots for him. I mean, he roots for him big time.
Sure.
But he is tired of David Wright. And we were talking today about 2006. And that famous picture of Wright and Reyes smoking cigars after they clinched the NL East. And how it was all supposed to be championships and lollipops and sugar plums.
Yeah.
And that's 5 years ago. And there's been none of that. And the team is 5 games under 500, about to go into rebuild mode.
I mean, they were 23 years old at the time.
Yeah. Maybe it's time.
Maybe
it's time. Look, I don't think Met fans want to trade either guy.
No, and that's an excellent point, and I want you to expound on that because we were talking to Dr. Ire about that today.
Right. I don't think, as a Met fan, you don't want to trade either one of these guys. Met fans, and I think all baseball fans, but Met fans in particular, because so many of their best players were homegrown players, are particularly soft-spotted for the homegrown player, without a doubt. And Wright and Reyes are our two homegrown players. There are Jeter and Bernie Williams or whatever.
Right.
And the fact that they have failed to win a championship since the failure in 2006 and then the epic failure in 2007, 2008, etc., Met fans, though, still love these two guys. There are guys. But it's 5 years. It may never happen. And if you're going to go into rebuild mode and you can only keep one of them, it may be more practical to keep Jose Reyes, sign him to a long-term deal, as you said, at a position of scarcity. You know, when he's playing like he is right now, there's only three other shortstops that are better than him in baseball. So you keep the position of scarcity.
Who's
and you
third?
Who's the third?
Well, Tulowitzki.
Hanley Ramirez.
Hanley Ramirez. Who's the third?
Yeah, maybe the second. Right.
Right? I mean...
Maybe he's the third. I mean, you could always say Rollins in there because Rollins is a winner. And you know, Rollins has won an MVP, and I don't know. But again, top of his game, Jose Reyes is one of the top three shortstops in baseball.
Yeah.
At a position where there's not that many great players.
I mean, he's arguably one of the top 20 players in all of baseball.
Oh, when he's healthy. I don't think it's arguable.
Yeah.
You know, aside from the fact that he is lacking what we've always talked about, that sixth tool. And he showed it the other night by not one but two base running blunders in the same game.
Yeah.
That are just, you know, lights off upstairs sort of blunders. But anyway, but my question though, Brian, is are you really going to get back that much more for David Wright than you are for Jose Reyes? Wright is only signed, what, through 2012, right?
He's got one more year and then he's got an option for 2013.
He's got an option year in 13. So essentially, and it's a reasonable option year if he's putting up the numbers that he's putting up. Plus, he'll only be 30 in that option year, right? Yeah, because he's going to be 20. He'll be 28 in December. Wow, I know when his birth is. He'll be 20, but no. He'll be 28, I think, this December, right? So he'll be 29, whatever. He'll still be young for that option year. But are you going to get back more, Cal?
I think you're going to get back more. The question is how much more would you get back?
Well, Dr. E-Ray asked us today, like, if you trade right, you got to get – his opinion was you get a major league-ready position player and you get a pitcher, like a high-level prospect pitcher. I totally disagree. I don't totally disagree. So harsh.
Wow.
I somewhat disagree. I think you got to get back two top pitching prospects because you have Wilmer Flores.
And
a year away.
You know, with all these injuries that the Mets have had, and they're talking about who's behind them in the minor leagues, they don't have any pitching in the minor leagues right now.
No.
They're bare.
They just promoted Familia to Double A because of the injuries at Triple A.
Right.
And you're not rushing Matt Harvey. Did you read the Matt Harvey article today in the Post?
No.
Kevin Kiernan had an article on Matt Harvey. Cal, just when you think all is lost, I urge you to go read this article.
Right.
Matt Harvey is everything we wanted Mike Pelfrey to be, and he's not.
Okay.
Matt Harvey is a 95-plus fastball, four pitches, 22 years old, and angry, Brian.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes. Pitches with a chip on his shoulder, wants to beat you and intimidate you.
Good.
The comparison was Roy Halladay.
Well, let's not get carried away.
Yeah, no, just in mentality.
If he comes in somewhere between Halladay and Pelfrey, I'll be very happy.
If he's just not licking his hand furiously on the mound, I'll be pretty happy. You know, let's all remember that Colorado, the site of Mike Pelfrey's meltdown.
That's kind of where it started, yeah.
Pelfrey pitching in Colorado tonight, and a couple of years ago he had a complete meltdown where after his start he got knocked around for like 6 runs in 2 innings, decided to just jog, found himself jogging around Denver, didn't know where he was. Wow. Anyway,
yeah.
What's the score of the game there, Cal?
Mets up 4-2 in the bottom of the fifth.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Do you think so? You think you get more for Wright than Reyes?
Yeah, I think you get more for Wright, and from a business standpoint, I'll be honest with you. I think Reyes sells more tickets than Wright.
This is where I disagree with you. David Wright is beloved, Cal.
Of course he is.
He's beloved. He's the face of the. I mean, he's the whole thing. I don't know if you can – he's the whole package. He grew up in Norfolk. He loves being a Met.
I'm not saying that he's not. I'm not saying that at all. I just think that he's – I think Reyes is the more exciting player.
All right.
He's the more dynamic player. When Reyes is up, you're going to watch if Jose Reyes is up, you're going to watch his at-bat before you would watch a David Wright at-bat. Am I right?
I got to be honest. The David Wright at-bats have gotten tough to watch, Cal.
They're tough to watch. Well, I mean, and
it's gotten tough to watch.
That's the other thing. We could spend 8 hours on what the heck happened to him after 2006. And somewhere along the way, he just became a tinkerer.
Yep.
A tinkerer. Is that a word?
Careful.
Again.
he was at the tiller.
I'm working on that line tonight.
His hand is not steady at the tiller.
No.
Not
so
steady.
I don't know. He's gotten bad advice or he's letting his head get into it too much. I don't know.
I don't know. Whatever it is, he's playing his way. He could be playing his way out of or into exactly what we are talking about. He may change Sandy Alderson's mind. It's sort of a foregone conclusion that the Mets are either going to trade Jose Reyes or let him cut bait, you know, or cut bait with him at the end of the season and get the first round draft pick. I think Sandy Alderson is open to absolutely everything when it comes to the Mets. And the other thing is, Cal, we won't know which is the better move because it really depends on what you can get for Reyes, and it really depends on if the team that trades for Reyes is desperate for him and gets that window for an extension. That's huge.
Well, the other thing is that Sandy Alderson, and everybody just assumes, oh, well, you know, he doesn't get on base a lot, so Sandy Alderson hates him automatically. You know, he's not an Alderson guy. Everybody assumes that.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous.
But I don't know who it was was talking about Reyes to Alderson over the weekend, and Alderson made a comment about how, you know, you have to take into consideration the connection a player has with the fans. It can't just be about his skills. There's also a connection that a guy has with the fans, and he was surprised by the strong connection that Reyes had with the New York fans. So for whatever that's worth, I agree with him. You know, it's a business. They're running a business. They're you know, it's a baseball team, and we like watching the games. But the Wilpons are running a business. And what's better for business? Is it better to keep Jose Reyes around because he's got this connection with the fans?
Right. The other issue in there, Cal, is that we're sort of ignoring, and we may get to a little, you know, in a couple of weeks or whatever, is that they may have a buyer for the team.
They may
have somebody buying in with an infusion of cash that's going to make it possible to sign Jose Reyes, or at least bid on Jose Reyes.
So then do you have to wait until the end of the season?
I think you have to wait till the end of June, because that's supposedly when the bidder is going to be chosen.
Right.
They have very serious bids. They have bids to the tune of $250 million, and they have bids for 49% of the team is what I'm hearing, too. So that's going to be a little more than your name on the letterhead. So if there's that sort of infusion of cash, then maybe they can afford Jose Reyes. Maybe they don't have to trade anybody.
Well, they have to trade Beltran.
Yes. Well, that's a given. 424-220-1817, the number to call if you want to get in on this. So there you go. There's Cal's proposal. Maybe you trade David Wright. Maybe you trade, you know, David Wright and not Jose Reyes. You re-sign Jose Reyes, or you extend him. You build around Jose. I don't know it's certainly going to be intriguing to watch. I still like my Reyes for Jeter. What? My bad.
That's possible.
Listen, Cal.
Yeah.
We should try to get Scott on about the Isles.
By the way, it was Mike Brumley, number 17 for the Cubs back in 1987. Mike Brumley.
Number 18.
No, he was number 17.
But Mark Grace took 17 because somebody was wearing 18.
Oh, that was wow. So then.
That what we need is who is wearing 18.
I gotta go back to the drawing board.
let's see if we can get our Islander fan guy. Let's see. See if he picks up. We're going to talk a little bit about the Islanders
live
with a big press conference tomorrow.
Hello?
Hey, there he is. Hello there, Scotty.
Good evening, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's going real well. I'd like to welcome Scott into the program, the Law Bot, the last remaining Islander fan, the last of the Mohegans. Actually, the three of us on this call, that may be it.
That's it.
You know, I think that gets a little overplayed. I think there's plenty of us out there just waiting for an excuse to jump up and be heard, right? Hopefully we'll get a little bit more of an excuse tomorrow. I don't know if you guys have been following the story at all.
Yeah, no,
oh, yeah,
this is why we got you, my friend. We wanted to talk to you about there's a big announcement coming for all you Islander fans out there, but in general, it's a sports note. There's a big announcement tomorrow going to be at the Nassau Coliseum about supposedly a work project or something. What's the deal, Scott?
Well, I don't know if you've been following the whole sordid saga, and it is a saga. I mean, it's just been ongoing now for a couple of years. Everybody knows that the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, gloriously unsponsored as it is outdated. It's run down. It's not state-of-the-art, and everyone knows you need a state-of-the-art building. So if you've been following it, you know that Charles Wong, the Islanders' owner, had proposed a pretty grandiose redevelopment for the site of the Coliseum. And he's been trying to get something through the various government approvals for a lot of years now. So he had proposed the Lighthouse Project. That was big, too big, a lot of people said, but I kind of liked it myself. And it got shot down. It cratered. It went nowhere for, again, a lot of reasons. I don't know how much more time we have on the call, so I won't get into it. But it seems that the new county supervisor, Mr. Mangano, who took over for Swazi, and Swazi had this great deal worked out, he lost. Mangano took over, and now he's taking a crack at it. There's going to be an announcement tomorrow, and there's a lot of speculation about what it's going to say, but the general gist that we're seeing from, you know, people who know more about it than me is you know, they're going to propose some redevelopment for the site, maybe a Coliseum renovation, maybe building a minor league ballpark over there. There's not a lot of hard facts about what else might be involved. So, you know, we'll wait and see. They got a press conference scheduled for 11:15. I'm going to follow it, probably stream it at my desk and just see what's going on. But, Cal, I mean, I know you've probably been following it, too, as one of the last three Islander fans. This is a question. When I heard this, like, my feelings were, oh, no, here we go again. Something else to get my hopes up and get shot down. When you heard this, what were you thinking?
I was excited. I was excited because it sounds like a scaled down version of this huge plan that they had with the Lighthouse. It sounds, again, the details are sketchy. We'll find out more tomorrow morning. But it sounds like they're looking to build an entire entertainment complex there. And the centerpiece of that is the arena. And the arena is the biggest part of this as an Islander fan, because you hear it all throughout the league that big-name free agents, big-name players throughout the league don't want to come and play for the Islanders because of their facilities. Their facilities are outdated, not just the Coliseum, but their training facilities as well. Everything is outdated. So if they can rebuild that Coliseum and the training facilities and all of the hockey facilities that go around it, I don't care what they do around the arena. You know, I just want the Islanders to be good again.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I was thinking the same thing today, that, you know, obviously he tried, you know, Charles Wong tried to get something done there that was a game changer, right? He was trying to get something done there that would be a destination, that would be a landmark, that would be just this huge production in the middle of Nassau on what is essentially now parking lots, right? I mean, I think everyone knows when you go to the Coliseum, there's nothing to do. There's the Coliseum, and then that's it. And there's this sort of hotel sticking up out of the middle of the ground, you know, a couple hundred feet away, but that's it, right? So it's not what you call a great game day experience. Now, Sam Pete, you have a pretty good experience with game day experiences now because you've taken in a bunch of games at the new Jet Giant facility. Say what you want about the stadium, and I think it looks like a giant air conditioner. It's a better game day experience for the most part, in terms of, you know, amenities and such, than the old stadium, you know, and I think that's the kind of thing the Islanders have been crying out for. What do you think?
Well, I think that it's a great point, man, but I think that the better example is would be Shea and City Field,
right.
In the sense that, you know, Shea was a dump, but it was our dump. and once City Field came around, there's no denying now that City Field is a better baseball experience than Shea was.
Right, but Steve.
I think with the Islanders, you could put a tent up that had, you know, working bathrooms, and you'd have a better game day experience than you do at the Coliseum. Like, it's not going to take much to have a better game day experience at the Coliseum, you know. I mean, they just so desperately need a new building. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think, you know, and I think you're seeing this at Citi Field now, the new building is nice, but they're not selling it out anymore, right?
They
I mean, it's not like Cleveland, where they built the new stadium and they had sellouts for 10 years, right?
Right.
New York is a little more fickle than that. There's 10 other things going on any given night. You got to have a good team out there, and I think Cal's point was the best one. If you can get a new Coliseum in there, and you can take that excuse away from the free agents so that you're not having to overpay and even then not sign the guys you want, like Paul Martin, who, you know, went to Vancouver for $2 million less because he just didn't want to come and play at the Coliseum, you know, then the product gets better and you will bring people back to the Coliseum. I think, you know, I just all we have right now is wild speculation, which is fun.
Yeah.
I love wild speculation.
But you know what, Scott? It's kind of the chicken and the egg thing, because you kind of need to have the building in order to get the players, but you can't get the players if you don't have the building. You know, and so it's tough for the Islanders. For the Mets, they had the players, and then they built the building, and then they stunk.
So there was the chicken, the egg, and then the chicken parmesan, right? The chicken died, and it's gone now,
okay.
Right?
And now chicken stepped on the egg.
Everybody
that's
stepped
right.
On the other thing, though, too, about hockey, Scott, though, is that on Long Island, it is proven, okay, that people will come to see that team when they're good or even halfway decent.
Yep.
I think one of the
oh, absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
You said, like, there's a lot to do in New York. Yeah, but this is Long Island. So in Nassau County, there's not that much to do. They are the only professional sports team within, you know, shouting distance of the city. And Islander fans are proud and want their own building.
Yeah, they do.
And I think you could have that, Scott, you could have the team that they had this year, okay, that went 2-19 at one point, but then really started to play good hockey towards the end of the year.
Oh, yeah, the second half was night and day, right? And they had a competitive team. They had exciting young players. They've been, I mean, again, say what you want about Garth Snow, and lots of people have. The rebuild is getting there, right? They've got a lot of exciting young guys, and then next year they're going to have some more, and they've got another top five pick. And it's easy to see the glasses half full, right? You've got Tavares lighting it up at the World Championships. I think he's leading the whole tournament in scoring. You got, you know, Oposo coming back for a full year. You got Grabner, who just looks amazing, and we can probably pencil in him for another 25 goals next year. You got guys on this team who are going to stick around and are not going to be traded away like Milbury used to do, right? Because they're restricted free agents. They're, you know, hockey's version of indentured servants right now. We get to control them for the next couple of years, so they're not going anywhere. You know, if we can get the building right.
The other thing with that, Scott, is that they're growing up together, and they're developing a sort of kind of us against the world mentality and a little bit of Islander pride, that this is going to be a fun team for the next few years as they continue to develop. Now, if you don't have the building, nobody's going to go see it. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you take that same team that had the second half that they had. And you put that in a. I'm not even talking about a state of the art facility. I'm talking about a in the thousands facility, in the 90s facility. And that arena is sold out every night.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Fans will come. Right now, they are bitter about the fact that Charles Wong has owned this team for 11 years. that he's been trying 11 years now, that he's been trying to get the Lighthouse Project for the longest time. And it seems like, I feel like a lot of Islander fans feel like, what did he care about? Did he care about the real estate land grab, or did he care about the team? Because he was like, he wrote in as a white, non-hockey knowing knight, you know, and came in and saved the franchise. And then it started to look like the Lighthouse Project was just a land grab.
Yeah.
Well, Steve,
I mean,
when the Lighthouse Project died, you didn't hear word one from Wong anymore.
That's
right.
Right.
Right, exactly.
That's right.
You certainly didn't.
But I mean, listen.
It. Yeah.
My point with Wong is you can kill him for maybe, you know, overreaching. You can kill him for maybe dreaming too big, right? And trying to get what he could out of Nassau with the Lighthouse and whatnot. But I don't think you can kill him for wanting to keep the Islanders here. And I think that anybody who's lost as much money as that guy has over the last couple of years, without making the threats that other owners make and other markets have seen, to move unless I get this or to go elsewhere unless I get that, he's never done that. He's always taken the position that I'm trying to make it work here. Here's what I need to make it work here. And, again, you can kill him for that. But he's never said, if I don't get X, Y, and Z, I'm going to Winnipeg or I'm going to Quebec or I can't make it work here, so I'm leaving. And you got to contrast that with, like, what the Maloofs have done in Sacramento, what happened to the Sonics in Seattle. What, you know, I mean, it's kind of rare. So, yeah, kill him for DPH with lifetime contract. Kill him for, you know, the management shenanigans that have gone on over there. They are not the easiest team to root for. They seem to have a talent for shooting themselves in the foot with this kind of stuff. But at the same time, you got to give him credit for trying to make it work here. He's at least given it a shot.
Yeah.
Right?
No, and the odd thing about the Islanders will always be, and then before we let you go, Scott, I wanted to ask you one more thing. But the odd thing
sure.
about the Islanders will always be they're a small market team in the middle of New York City. And that's the truth of the matter. They are a small market team.
Right.
And they play 30 miles from the Madison Square Garden.
Right. And it's taken
30 miles from Manhattan. And they're a small market team.
Right. And you know what? Roy Bowie and Bill Torrey, they got it. And they knew how to run the team within those constraints. I don't think anybody after that got that until Mr. Wong has had it beaten into him over the last couple of years by losing his shirt because of the building and the deal that he's got there with the management and the county. And, you know, now he realizes, and that's what he's been trying to do for the last couple of years, is I got to build this the way the Sabres did it, the way, you know, Pittsburgh tries to do it, the way, you know, other teams that have built through the draft and built through the rebuild have gotten competitive. I mean, look at what the Sabres did. They had all those homegrown guys. They had Pekka and they had Hasek and they were in the cup finals for a couple of years. That's that'd be the model for us, you know?
Yep.
All right. Now, Scott, so tomorrow at 11:15 or whatever time it is, you'll be listening to the press conference. I think we will all be anxiously awaiting the news. Now, I'm going to ask you 12 hours before, put on your soothsayer hat. What do you think the announcement is going to be tomorrow?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that you're going to hear, right? The first thing you're going to hear, because one of the things Mangano did was make a proposal to try to get a casino built on the Coliseum site, and he was going to partner with the Shinnecocks, who now have federal status and can get a casino built there. And I think he did that not because he thought he was going to get a casino there, but because he wanted to show the locals that if you don't do this, if you don't give me something, this is what I'm going to give you. And then how do you like that, right? So he was kind of – it's a little bit of gamesmanship. It's a little bit of, all right, well, you know, you guys won't let me do what we're proposing, which is, you know, beneficial, affordable housing, all sorts of stuff like that. How do you like a casino? How do you think that's going to go over for your residents that are against the development there? And so now, you know, having sort of shown that, he's going to hit him with the carrot, which is, all right, I'll put the casino with Belmont, which is where a lot of people think it should go anyway because there's a racing track there. But you got to give me this. You got to give me a new or completely renovated Coliseum. You got to give me an entertainment complex to give people something to do on game day other than game day. You got to give me training facilities so that the Islanders can attract free agents. You got to give me a minor league ballpark so that I can maybe attract another minor league sports team to play here in the summer so that it's a year-round venue. And I got something to fill the complex during the summer months. And then, you know, then I'd be interested to see what else he tries to jam into that. But I think that's what the basics are going to be. The basics are going to be sports and entertainment complex, something for everybody, restaurants, maybe an expanded hotel, maybe a convention space, something like that. And then we'll see what else they try to glom onto the design.
Nice. Well, Scotty, we'll certainly us Islander fans will certainly be paying attention tomorrow, brother. I'm sure you and I will be texting back and forth. PJ wants to know if they're going to try to get a roller derby rink as well, if they'll try to
a roller
that.
Derby rink.
Yes, that's right. He just wants to go to the roller derby.
He does he?
Yeah.
You know, they do that out in Jersey where he resides. He actually could see that out in Jersey. I know Dane McManus, one of the Jets beat reporters, does roller derby out in Jersey. You should go check her out.
Yeah, she's always tweeting about the fact that she's on a roller derby team, and I would pay to see that. Is that wrong? Should I not say that? I never
what?
Want to
no,
go
I didn't.
With PJ.
No, it's, yeah, go.
All right, brother, we will we'll talk to you tomorrow, and you know, we'll follow up on this, man, because those of us that are Islander fans and also, you know, there's a lot of sports and politics at play here. It's been a very interesting 10 years with trying to get the Lighthouse built. So,
there's tons more to talk about the behind the scenes machinations of the Nassau County Republican complex and all sorts of stuff that we really don't want to get into right here.
I think,
but yeah, there's a lot to go on there.
I think during the Cup Finals too, Scotty, we may have Kevin on, Greenstein, to talk. So maybe we'll bring you in on that conversation. We'll do a little four-way NHL Finals talk.
Well, that sounds great.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you down the road. Thanks, pal.
Yep. Thanks for the call tonight, guys. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. So Scott, our resident Islander fan, checking in, doing a fantastic job.
Our resident other Islander fan.
That's right. Well, you know, we can't be the resident fans on our own show.
No, you have to bring in...
You got to bring in people.
He qualifies as an expert on the Islanders. He is a huge fan and very knowledgeable.
He is. He's also a homeowner in the town of county of Nassau, which in Nassau County out on Long Island, which also means he knows what's going on with the town superintendent and...
Yeah, he's...
The political machinations. Yes. Pop Culture PJ, our producer, pointed out, it was starting to sound a little mafia there. Starting to sound a little mafioso. Like, look, all right, you don't like what I'm doing? How about a casino? How you like that? All right? An Indian casino. How you like that? Be nice. No? Okay, no? Well, then you're going to do this. So Mo Green's out of the Tropicana, and I'm putting my brother Fredo there. Cal, so we'll definitely keep an eye on the Islander stuff. I know that's, you know, for us that's an exciting thing tomorrow. We got a couple of minutes left, and I wanted to just touch on this a little 10 minutes to 1 Saturday Night Live sketch. But the 10 to 1 sketch. You know
it's
what
always
the
throw. It's always the throwaway sketch.
Right, it's usually a throwaway sketch until it's Wayne's World, my friend.
Yeah, that's true.
Which was a 10 to 1 sketch. So can we do a quick fun load here?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So the reason this came up for me is I heard it in two places. All right. I heard the sports guy talk about this a couple weeks ago, talking about the idea that he hasn't been able to follow the Bruins until the playoffs because, you know, when you get married and you start having kids, you know, some things just have to go. You can't follow sports like you did in your 20s.
Wait, before you go on, and I hate to interrupt you.
Yes. Jose Reyes has just been traded for Derek Jeter.
No, yeah. How did you know?
This would be the greatest program in the history of podcasts.
Could you imagine? In the middle of the game. No, I check out. This is just breaking because I've been checking this out all night, waiting for this guy to weigh in on the Islanders story for tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm checking out Point Blank.
Yeah.
The Islanders Point Blank, the great blog written by Chris Botta.
Tremendous job.
And he's finally at 10:15 posted some information about tomorrow.
Okay.
And what it looks like, and I'm going to read this from his site.
Awesome.
And just a real quick blurb here. Point Blank has confirmed that August 1st is the scheduled date for the referendum on a bond for a planned sports and entertainment destination center on the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum property. The cost is expected to be $400 million. Nassau County residents will vote yay or nay.
So it's going to go to a vote.
So it's going to go to a vote, and it's going to cost $400 million. And I wish Scott was on the phone.
I know.
2 minutes longer.
PJ, get him back. Call him back.
As a Nassau County resident, I'd love to hear his thoughts on it. But that is what's going to happen tomorrow.
I got to be honest with you, Cal, though. One thing that strikes me immediately about that announcement, $400 million is a ridiculous amount of money. Don't get
That's
me wrong.
A lot of money.
But it's about $650 million less than what the Lighthouse proposal was.
It is.
I think you might get that passed.
Well, we'll see.
God, I hope so. So
this appears to be the last shot at getting something done on the property, though, for the Islanders.
Right. And Scott just texted me back and said I should have talked about the bond. I had seen that and I forgot.
Ah, okay. So
okay.
At least you know.
All right. Oof. Great.
I'm sorry. Go back.
No, not at all. That was important information, and it's going to come down to a vote in Nassau County, and I think that's something that Charles Wong always wanted. Like, just put it to a vote to the people. I bet you I win.
Well, they're the ones paying for it, so.
Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, this point, Simmons was saying you can't, you know, follow teams like you did. Something has to give, and he had to give up the Bruins. Like, he had to give up, like, nightly watching of the Bruins. You know, and the trade-off is that he can, you know, watch all the Sox games he wants, all the Celtics games or whatever. And then at this business thing, or this work thing last week, I was talking to one of my coworkers, buddy of mine out in Chicago, Trox, and we got to – big, great sports fan. We actually, Cal, we have to have him on for college football. He is he's magnificent. Big college football fan, yeah. But he was saying the same thing. Independent of the sports guy, was saying, I don't really follow baseball anymore. I sort of had to give up, you know, with the kids and stuff. Like, you have to give up some of the everyday stuff. He's like, for that, I get Saturdays for college football, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now, as some of you listeners know, I'm new to the parenthood. And my boy turned 5 months old on Friday. And Cal, you are a veteran.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a while now.
You have, the older children. Did you find that happened? Did you find that you had to give up? Did the Islanders go? Did the Knicks go? Do you actually have to give up one thing? Is it a trade-off?
It's a trade-off, and the Knicks went, but not because of my kids.
Right, the Knicks went because of Isaiah.
So I was kind of fortunate that it kind of, that part kind of took care of itself.
It sort of worked itself out.
Yeah. I'll tell you what went. And when you are an impending parent, all you think about is, oh my goodness, how everything's going to change. You know, I'm going to have to give up everything. My life is going to change. And it's true. Your life does change. It changes in a good way, but you find ways around things to make it work for you.
Okay, such as?
So, the first thing that did go, and this was unavoidable, is I used to go to about 15, 20 games a year.
Just all sports or Met games?
All sports.
Okay.
You know, most of them were Met games, but I would go to a few Islander games and maybe one or two football games during the year.
Gone.
And that goes away.
But okay, so let's check off the things I have already seen. Okay, so
you've seen that, right?
Check. My yeah. Jet season tickets for reasons about the Meadowlands, but also for reasons of having not being able to spend 10 hours on 8 Sundays a year away.
Right.
Gone.
You just can't do it anymore.
Happy to trade that off, though.
Fair trade.
It's a fair trade.
Here's the next thing that goes.
Oh, boy.
If you are lucky enough to be able to still have athletic ability and play sports.
Yes.
If you are playing multiple sports or on multiple teams in one sport, everything but one goes.
So you
gotta go.
If you're playing basketball in a rec league and softball,
gone.
Both go.
If you play softball and like to dabble in a round of golf here and there,
gone.
You have to choose.
Wow. All right.
You got it. I mean, and again, this is all because of time constraints and because if you're going to be a good father, now,
right.
I'm not saying anybody that does this is a bad father. Hold on a second.
Direct all calls to Brian Calvi.
I saw where this was going, but things have to change. Now, the big thing that changed for me. And
can I ask a question about the last one, though?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So in that giving up the softball, say,
right.
do you gain the ability to watch sports?
No.
Oh, come on now.
No. Well, not
at that time.
Event.
No, but I didn't know. Just even TV, like at that time, like.
Well, that's you're leading me into my next point, which is
all right.
You know, once again, you're like the Stockton to my Malone. With the shorts to match.
I'm actually wearing John Stockton shorts right now. Very tight.
Well, hey.
But I look good.
So it's all part of the role. So with the advent, again, now my oldest daughter is 8 years old, so she came around at approximately the same time as the DVR became popular.
Nice.
And what I learned to do, because the baseball, and I love the baseball games, the football games as well, and you, better than anybody, can attest to this, because you've already experienced this. You record the games, and I can't remember, honestly, the last live sporting event I watched at that exact time that it was happening.
In its entirety.
In its entirety, because what happens is you record the game, especially the baseball games during the week. They start at 7 o'clock. That's prime kid time.
Right.
You're bathing them, you're feeding them, you're getting them ready for bed, whatever you're doing.
Right, having them do your taxes, whatever it is.
You know, mowing the lawn.
That's correct.
But you cannot justify at 7 o'clock in the middle of all the craziness going on with the kids. Oh, sorry, mess around. Gotta go watch the game. Can't
put the formula down. No, Daddy's got to go watch the game. Sorry.
You can't do it. It just it changes. You know?
Dinner's over.
I'm out.
I am bringing a close to dinner.
Where did Daddy go?
Folks, where'd Daddy go?
Why can't Daddy read? Well, the Mets are on, honey. It doesn't work. But you and Steve, you've experienced this, right? And
yes.
In your short tenure as a parent, right?
Yes, I have. I feel like the Knicks were already out as well. So that solved a problem for me. I also feel like my wife had sort of prepped me for this before the child came.
How so?
Well, there was like a weaning off of some nightly things. Like, you know, trade-off sort of stuff. Like, watching an Islander game in the middle of, like, November. Watching, like, the 25th Islander game of the year.
Right.
You know, on a Wednesday night in November.
You really need to watch that?
Like, really? Really? Is it, I mean, is that crucial? Do you need that game? And it, you sort of work out like a commodities program, like an exchange. We're like, I'll give you the Wednesday night, and we'll HGTV it. We will watch, you know, Curb Appeal with Dan Schachner. We'll watch that. Now on SNY's Beer Money.
Cheap plug.
Right, cheap plug for Danny Schachner. No, we'll do that, and you sort of exchange. Like, I've gathered up 5 HGTV/Food Network nights. I would like to exchange that for 7 hours of football this Sunday. So I just not just the Jet game, I'm going to need the whole day.
Well,
so I already started on that, right?
Let's talk football, because that's a whole different ball game in my world.
It is.
I happen to have a wife who, although lovely, hates the game of football.
Right.
With a passion.
On principle.
With a passion, hates it, doesn't understand it. Doesn't like what it does to people who watch it.
She's a lovely gal.
Beautiful, beautiful woman.
We can't emphasize enough.
But hates, I mean, as if football was played by terrorists. She hates it. So now, with the introduction of two kids into the mix, the ability to sit on a Sunday and watch 7 hours of football is completely and utterly out the window.
Not a chance.
Not a remote chance. But what I get in return, and this is, again, you talk about your commodities.
That's it.
What I get each football season is one Sunday a year where I can either go to a game or we can hang out with our friends and watch a day's worth of football. That's what I get. For 16 other weeks, I have to record the Jet game.
It's catch as catch can.
Because I'm pumpkin picking. Right? Because of course you got to go pumpkin picking at 1 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon in the fall, right? That's the only time to go.
That's when the pumpkins are ripest.
But I do have to tell you, there's a secret society. When you see other fathers pumpkin picking, you just kind of look at each other
right.
And you shake your head.
Give the knowing nod. Right.
Like, yeah.
I'm taping it too.
Recording it?
Yeah, don't worry about it. Won't say anything. Well, that's something to look forward to.
Well, but that's just me.
Right.
That's just me. I mean, the vitriol she has for football is off the charts.
Yeah, that's I did not know about. Lovely gal, by the way. We cannot again.
No, I mean the
beautiful,
best.
Smart, intelligent, fantastic mother.
Terrific. She can cook.
She make you a sauce, a gravy on Sunday nights. That's
nice
another thing on Sunday. It's pasta day.
Well, it's pasta day, but
gotta have dinner at 3 o'clock. Because it's Ronzoni day, apparently, so you have to have dinner at 3.
At 3:30, when it's 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, it's dinner time.
Dinner time.
That's
so
the time.
Got to eat early. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, this is all something to look forward to. I think it was a very interesting conversation I had with my buddy Trox about this idea that, you know, if you had to – so let's finish it up this way, Cal.
Yeah.
Let's take the Knicks out of the equation because we've already – I don't even watch – whatever. Let's take the Knicks out of the equation.
The Knicks are out. Although
I watched
a little bit this – and we watched a little bit this year. Well, you didn't. You tried. And
I tried desperately. Let's say out of the three that we have left.
Yeah.
If you could – if you had to pick one to lose, like entirely, which would it be?
Wow.
Is this like choosing between your children?
This is Sophie's Choice.
This is like Sophie's Choice.
I feel like Meryl Streep.
You look a little. I mentioned you were dressed up. You look a little. You do not look unlike Meryl Streep right now.
It's a combination of Meryl Streep and Karl Malone tonight.
And Karl Malone. And Gus Frat. Because you are gussied up for the show.
I am a handsome broad.
You are good looking.
You have to answer that first.
I'd have to say the Islanders. I'd have to. I can't. The lengths that I have gone through to watch a Jet game. I'm the reason that they invented DVR. I had the beta model of the DVR from Time Warner just so I could watch a Jet game. That's a true story. I was doing a play that was on Sundays. And I could not, you know, I said to him, I said, I can't take this play. It was a Sunday brunch play.
Oh.
Great idea by a friend of ours. It was great. It was a great experience. And I said, I can't do it. I can't miss the Jet games. And he suggested to me, they have this new thing called DVR. It's like TiVo, but you don't have to get TiVo. So you can get it through Time Warner. I had like literally like the beta model. I had like DVR.
Wow, that's true.
1.0.
Wow.
Just so I could watch Jet games. So it's got to be the Isles. It's got to be.
Yeah,
oh, that breaks
the heart. I'd have to say the same thing because, I can't imagine not watching football. I mean, you're talking about not watching football.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not even talking about what you have now, which is your one day a season, your one day pass.
I get one day.
They don't make the NFL ticket one day pass.
Well, here I'm I'm going to blow everybody's mind with this. I have DirecTV. All right? I am the only man in America that has DirecTV but does not have the Sunday ticket.
What?
Why?
Again.
Rewind the tape 5 minutes, and there's your answer.
Unbelievable. That's fantastic.
There is no bigger taunt than watching Peyton Manning do those commercials on my TV.
On your DirecTV.
All I got to do is press a button.
One button. You're one button away from having every game.
Yeah, and can't have it.
And you can't watch any of them. Well, that's – wow. That's all the time we have. That's fantastic. Let's close by saying this, Cal. Mm. You got to make some tough choices in there when you have the family and stuff. But when you look at your kids or you look at your wife or whatever, none of it is a tough choice.
Nah, you make that choice every day and twice on Sunday.
And twice on Sunday. Unless, of course, there's a Jet playoff game.
Or if it's a Fox doubleheader.
A Fox doubleheader. I might not make that choice twice on Sunday. Definitely make it once.
Once in the morning before 1.
Absolutely. Our thanks to Pop Culture PJ. Pop Culture PJ, thanks, man.
Anytime, boys. It's my pleasure.
Anything you want to add to this?
No.
He's not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks. Peach, seriously, thanks, pal. And let's go to the roller derby together.
Absolutely. I'm in. We're going to bring Scotty, too.
Yep. Cal won't be able to go if it's on a Sunday at 1.
Can't do it.
No, well, he can bring his wife. It's fine.
Yeah, she'll love that. We'll talk to you next week, Peach. Thanks, pal.
Have you.
Cal, final unload?
Final unload, 1987, Chicago Cubs, number 18, Angel Salazar.
Angel Salazar was the reason that Mark Grace, wow. My final unload is if you trade Reyes, you trade right. Just whatever you decide to do, get it right, please. Get it correct. We've suffered enough. For Brian Calvi, I'm Steve Sampietro. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Check us out at www.rtusports.com. And download this to iTunes so you can listen to it again and again. We will be back next week. Maybe have a little guest for the Yankees, Cal.
I hope so.
And we'll take your calls. Thanks so much, guys. Good night, everybody.